Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Kay Chance.
Okay. We're very happy to be here. I heard it's about the 10th time we've been here. So we are really joined with you, have seen you grow, met you, and have really counted it a great privilege to invest. Mike and I really do like, we have a traveling ministry the last 10 years. We do like to go, not to all the time to different places, but to really build and help build. And every time we come to a place, we try to believe that we can take all of you together into a next level or keep moving in God. As Shane was saying, keep on going, keep on building in your Christian life, keep on running. Okay. Can you, Angus, can you put that picture up? Okay, I want to give you two pictures to kind of explain where Mike and I and what's burning in our hearts. I guess our story is what God places in your spirit, what you see, what comes alive, that God has made real to you through His Word, through His Spirit, through the whole body of Christ. And I think it's an awesome privilege. I've been saved since I'm 18. And I think it's an awesome privilege to have a whole lifetime to walk with God.
Yeah.
It's great if you get saved when you're older, but when you're younger, it really takes a lifetime of walking with God. Yeah. He has so many riches, so many lessons, so many treasures. You need a lifetime. And then we have eternity to keep on going.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our picture. This is the sign that we use when we travel in Germany. Because we are actually missionaries to Germany. And this, our name is in English, Arise, Shine. But that's the name of our ministry, Arise. That's the message we kind of preach in Germany. Jesus has done everything on the cross. The Joshua generation, arise, go in, and take the land.
Yeah.
Possess your inheritance for individuals and for nations.
Yeah.
And that's what God has birthed in us, and that's what we write. And then this says, Der Dienst, or the ministry of Mike and K. Chance. Then it says, a whole generation is arising. And this is this picture. For us, it's a prophetic picture. Seven white horses. Seven is the number of perfection. Mm-hmm. So our vision is really for the whole body of Christ to come forth. With the strength, this is like for me an end time picture of the end time church going together. Seven is the number of perfection, coming, the fullness of Christ arising in His people today. Arising and shining in the nations. And Shane said, be strong and work. The more united we are with the body of Christ and with the people we're with, the stronger we're going to be.
Yeah.
And we like this picture because our ministry is to the entire body of Christ. That's our vision, to raise up an army of worshipers and witnesses that will shine. And so, and our vision is also, we minister to young, middle, old, children, whatever. We're for everybody. Okay. Eine ganze Generation. And then it says we're traveling or with a vision for a revival culture in Germany, Deutschland, and Europe. But Germany is our main field. Actually, we've given our lives 40 years. And we're celebrating, we celebrated in 2015 40 years in Germany. And so that's what God gave us. To win for Him, part of that. So Germany is part of our story. And then I just want to go over this picture. It's like the open heaven. The heavens are open, and in these end times, we do believe the glory is coming down. And then these seven horses are jumping into a river or flow of the blessings and the glory of God, going with the river. And we do teach and preach revival culture, not just the experience, but we believe that every believer can live in personal revival.
That's right. That's good.
We don't have to wait for the whole body of Christ to be revived. You can have as much of Christ as you want. When we're all revived, of course, there's more power, life release, but you don't have to wait.
That's good.
Because you can continually drink yourself from the river of God and live in the finished victory that we sang of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And
the harvest follows.
Oh, and the harvest follows.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. Okay. Now there's one more picture that kind of shows what's beating in our hearts, our story. And I think that explains it also. What we've been living for is for, that's a picture of the bride of Christ, not just one of us, but also the worldwide, international, I call it the hungry people that are following fully after God, or those that are really alive. There's the church, but not everyone is in the same level of revival or life or awake, but there's hundreds and thousands all over the world really arising, the bride making herself ready, and you see she's running forward just like the horses, running forward. That's where we're all a part. When you see that, say, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of that going forward. And that's also, I think, a great way to live your Christian life, not stagnant, not I've arrived, not this is comfortable. There's so much more.
Yeah.
There's always more.
Right. Yeah.
That is incredible. Yeah. So it keeps you from getting complacent, dull. So there's a picture of the bride of Christ, and you see she has the harvest of the souls that we're going to bring in this hour. In the background over there, you can't see it that well, is a flag of Israel. And then in the background is the dark clouds and the storms that we're living in, the world that we're living in. But still arise and go forward. Be strong in the strength of God. And that's kind of part of our story. Okay, just want to read a scripture and then I'm going to tell a little story. Okay, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I mean, there's so many scriptures I was thinking, what scripture shall I use? But there's a lot. But I did want to take this. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we're surrounded by the witnesses or the family that's in heaven that's already run their race. We're surrounded by people around us in that day we're living in. We're surrounded with a great cloud of people that have also run the race. And they're also running the race. None of us are really alone. We're all going with thousands and millions that are reaching out to God. And then it says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and Mike and I continually look to the people that went before us, that were our examples, that were our teachers, that gave us what we have. Almost all of them are in heaven, a lot of them, and we always feel, who's going to share what they gave to us? That's why we keep going, so we can give it to the next generation. That's how it goes. They're not here to do it. And they were witnesses of moves of God in their day. Okay, so let us lay aside every weight, every unnecessary burden. I always say, live light. Live life light. Don't take anything from the past into the future. It makes it harder to run. Really lay aside everything that would pull you backwards, everything that would put more weight on you. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, the little things that creep into our lives and try to trip us up. And that's the devil's plan. He doesn't want us to run. But the little sins that so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance. I like that. The Christian life is a race. And so we're running, but with endurance. It's a marathon race. It's not just a little sprint. 1 year, maybe I can make it. 2 years, 10 years. They always told us when we were young, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Because we've got to run to the end. So, it says run with endurance. That means it's an endurance race. It's like a triathlon. Sometimes you're swimming in the water, sometimes you're running, sometimes you're on a bike, but you keep on reaching out.
Yeah.
Okay, The race that's set before you, I also love that. Each person has a course for their life. Each person has a race. Mm. Each generation has a race. We all have a track to fulfill. We all have a destiny to run. We all have a course set by God. And then, of course, here's the key to everything, what we sang this morning. Looking unto Jesus. How can we really keep on staying fresh, staying alive? Living is only one way. We sang that this morning. Looking unto Jesus.
Yeah.
I love that. And that means looking away from everything else and keep looking at Jesus.
Yeah.
As long as we keep looking at him, we'll stay happy.
Yeah.
He's still beautiful. He's still perfect. He's still amazing.
Yeah.
He's still alive. I always like to look at him and think he's still eternally young. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not getting older. Praise God. He's got as much strength as when he first started.
Yeah.
So we're looking unto Jesus. And he's the originator. He's the one that really started the plan. He's the one that on the cross started the work. And he's the finisher. I love that.
Yeah.
The perfecter. He's still alive and he's still continually giving us his spirit. And so we can keep our eyes on Jesus, looking away from everything else, everything that wants to pull you down. Everything that wants to suck the life out of you, everything that will discourage. Don't focus there. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
The author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he also had his eyes on what he wanted to accomplish. He had his eyes on it says he endured the cross. And despise the shame. I love that.
That's awesome.
Jesus also had a race.
Yeah.
And he endured the cross. He didn't like run away from it. He went through it. And I like that also. He despised the shame. He kept it down. He didn't let it get big. To despise things mean you keep them little. You keep them... That not always getting big and worshiping them, the shame or the problems. He despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He won the victor's crown, and he's alive forevermore. Okay, so with that, I'm going to just start. Okay, my life started in the Bronx in New York City. And I am a second generation American, so both of my grandfathers, one came from Greece, when he was 18, and one came from Germany. Of course, I was an American, but you still have your backgrounds. Okay, and the Bronx is where many Europeans landed in New York City when they came to America, and then they moved west. So they started in the Bronx, or in New York City. I was born there, and my parents weren't Christians when they got married. They got married at 20, and then I guess I was born 3 years later. And I'm the oldest of four. I have to make this really short. But anyway, my father, actually, after they got married, became an alcoholic and a gambler. He was totally addicted to gambling. And a gambling lifestyle, you cover up everything, you live in lies. And he lived continually in lies. So he was actually that. So my mother was the first in our family to get saved. She was 27. They get married at 20. And I love this story. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But my mother, in her own apartment, without a preacher, had a vision.
Wow.
And got miraculously saved.
Awesome.
Totally transformed. She was really in depression and lonely and didn't know what to do. She had two young kids. And God came into her apartment. She had this vision. I can't go into it all. Changed her life forever. And after that, she found a Christian radio program, 24/7 Christian radio. And she grew in God with the radio in her little apartment in the Bronx. She always wrote for the books that they offered. And she, in the midst of her circumstances, which didn't change, found strength to raise her kids, found strength in God, and she got happier and happier And my father got worse and worse. And so that's how it went on for 7 years. Then I was the oldest, and there was three of us. So when my mother got saved at 5, I can really remember the change. I remember the music, I remember the radio, I remember, yeah, the songs. Right in the corner where you are. It was the evangelical. Okay, and she prayed with me and everything. Okay, 7 years later, so my mother's 34 and my father's 34. My father just went downhill, she went uphill. And the miracle happened. They were then married 14 years. My father comes home one morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, lays on the couch. And you know, addictions. My father was really not a brutal man or a violent man. Actually, he was very loving and kind, but he was bound and couldn't get free. So wasn't that he was never mean to any of us, but he was just a lost sinner. And so he comes home one evening, 2 or 3 in the morning, lays on the couch, and she forgot to turn her radio program off. And he hears this man preaching when he's all alone there. And he, of course, he always told his testimony, so we can imagine it. And he always says, he heard the man preaching, and the man said, really loud, "Do you want a new life?" And then he always goes like this when he tells the stories. My ears got this big.
Excellent.
And he always says it's the first time he heard it, but I'm sure he heard it more. But you can hear about Jesus many times until it really goes in.
Yeah.
So he's there in the morning. Do you want a new life? And he starts thinking, do I want a new life? I've tried and tried and tried. Anyway, the guy preaches the gospel that Jesus can forgive your sins and give you a new life and the power. And then the man says, okay, now if anyone wants that, we're going to pray. My father always says he ripped his shirt open. He didn't know for Jesus to come into his heart. And he prayed with the man, and he's crying with the man, and he gets saved that night at 34. I was 11 or 12. And then he, 5 o'clock in the morning, goes into my mother, Emma, Emma. Guess what I did? She thought, oh no, what did you do now? And he said, I asked Jesus into my life. She was like, I don't know if she believed it, but anyway. So the next morning, or that morning, they get up and they're sitting at the little table. And he says, I asked Jesus in my life. And then he looks at her, they were married 14 years, and he says, Emma, can we start together anew with Jesus?
Awesome. Yeah.
Because she had really given up on him. And she says that was a big step for her to say yes, but God said to her, you've been praying for a father for your kids. So she said yes, we can start over again with Jesus. So that's how my story kind of goes. Just wanted to share, I wasn't born into the most wonderful family. And but God used this family, my father, mother, myself, and Mike, to start quite a incredible miracle ministry in Germany with the little, I always say he used a normal, broken family.
That's really good.
And I'm going to say Mike's testimony too, because Mike came into this normal, broken family. He was also a total broken, he was also a totally broken person. If you want to know where we came from, Mike got saved at 20. I didn't know him before he was saved. I met him 4 years after he was saved. Praise God. Or I never would have. I'm glad he was at least sanctified for 4 years.
Great.
So anyway, he was also a real hippie in those days in America when there was the hippies. And he was totally, I only know the stories, but I can believe them. Totally messed up on drugs, totally LSD, blew his mind. I always don't think he would have lasted another year or two without God. He was in prison. He ran away from home when he was 14, never knew his father, had a stepfather. That was really tough. And so we were the normal, broken people.
Yeah.
Just that you know. The grace of God is incredible.
Yeah.
But when God gets a hold of your heart, God gets a hold of your heart.
Yeah.
And so That was Mike's beginning, and he got saved at 20. I got saved about the same time. He was on the West Coast. I lived on the East Coast. But in those days, there was a revival outpouring. The Jesus People movement in America, thousands of young people got saved.
Millions.
In America, but also all over the world at that time. All of the young kids on drugs and messed up and that ran away. And we were quite a radical generation because that generation was really the generation that wanted to get out of all the traditions. We thought there has to be more to life than just working, making money, getting up, and living. And so that hippie generation was looking for more than they looked for it in drugs in the wrong places. But yeah. God saw they wanted more for their life.
Exactly.
And so when we got saved, we really got saved. Wow! There's more. We were like, saved. Okay. So my story goes, I got saved at 18 then. I won't tell the whole thing, but I got saved at 18. My father, I said, got saved when I was 12. We moved to New Jersey. Then he started taking, I went to like a Baptist church with my parents. My parents grew in God together. And I always say I was a Christian with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And I always say they're the most miserable.
Yeah.
Because you're not happy in the world and you're not happy with God. You're miserable. So I was miserable till I was 18. Really, I knew if I'm going to keep living this way, my whole life is going to be ruined. And then I got saved, experienced Jesus at 18, and I was so happy to finally have peace with God. And then, by miracle, at 18, I heard about a Bible school that was starting in Dallas, Texas. It was a brand new one that was in 1970. I heard, by a miracle, there's a Bible school, a nine-month Bible school opening, and they said, all you have to do is the Bible, because I didn't want to go to a theological Bible school. All you have to read is the Bible. It's only 9 months. I said, that sounds pretty good. And I said, well, maybe. Anyway, I knew God told me to go. So I went to Dallas, Texas. And for me, it was called Christ for the Nations. It just had started. It started by an incredible man of God. And it was the Bible school. It grew. Every year it doubled. It started with 50, then went to 100, 200, 400, 800, and then 1,200, 1,500. I was in the group with 100 the second year. And my parents came down to the Bible school in the group of 200, and Mike came in the group with 400. Right. Okay. So when I went to Bible school then, 1970, and it was a Bible school that just started, so it was a total revival school, revival type of Bible school. There wasn't a great academic program because it just started. They weren't that organized, but it was so free. And I thought I went to heaven. It was awesome. I walked into this place of the presence of God. I had never really experienced praise and worship. Never heard people singing in tongues. Never saw old and young people together with love. Because we were such a rebellious generation. I thought I went to heaven. And then 3 or 4 hours a day, the Word of God, by the most incredible Bible teachers in the world. I thought, in 3 months, I was like transformed. And feeling the love of God and hearing God tell me He loves me. And I got so hungry for God, like these horses. Nothing could hold me back. And it was such a time of God cleansing my life, throwing away all the junk I don't need in life, tasting God's love, meeting with God, hearing His word, and then having these incredible speakers, teachers, and always getting a call to dedicate your life. And I remember every call I would go up, crying, weeping, here I am, take everything, take everything, take everything. And I actually really was begging God to use me. I said, I'll do anything. I'll go to the hardest place in the world. I'll go anywhere. Just send me and I'll never come back. Maybe that's why I'm still in Germany and why it doesn't look like we'll ever go back. But anyway, be careful what you pray. But prayed, and of course I said the hardest place in the world. I don't want to say Germany's the hardest place in the world, but Germany, I always say, was a hard nut to crack.
Yeah.
You could imagine.
Yeah.
the work in Germany with its past and what God had to do. So, yeah, after 4 years in Bible, or 2 years, and actually the Bible school then went to 2 years, then my parents... My parents came down to the Bible school when they saw what God was doing in my life. I was writing them all the letters. I didn't even tell them to come down, but God started speaking to my father, sell everything you have. He'd been saved 8 years. Sell everything you have. I have a blessing for your life. So my parents were 42. By that time, they had four kids. I was the oldest. They had a kid that was still 6 and 13. And yeah. So anyway... God spoke to my father. They sold their house, his business, everything they had, paid off all his debts, and they went to Bible school. So we're all in Bible school. We burned all the bridges behind us, so we really had nowhere to go back to. So there we all are in Bible school, giving our lives to God and getting trained up and whatever. And by God's grace, a miracle, he called our family to Germany. And in those days, when we were young, Germany was never, you never heard of Europe as a mission field. You heard of Russia, the communist countries, or Africa, or India, but you never heard anyone talk about Europe. But my father happened to be in this meeting where there were missionaries that were in Germany actually working with the American military, and for some reason he felt, that's something I could imagine. So we all went and talked to these people. And the miracle is, so then we all felt, my mother, my father, myself, and my sister, 2 years younger than myself, we all felt, yeah. So my father, at that time, he was a student 1 year, and then he was on the staff of the Bible school as like a helper. But they actually loved my father because he was such a servant. He did everything they asked him to do, and the lady just loved him, the leader, because, okay, I didn't go into all the stories, but anyway... So my father goes into Mrs. Lindsay. She was at that time her husband had died, Gordon Lindsay, the one who started the school. He was 67, and she was the leader. And he goes and he says, Mrs. Lindsay, I just want to let you know that, you know, I'll only be working till May because God has called our whole family to Germany. And then she puts down whatever he tells it very dramatic, my father, and he says, well, Bob, I guess you're the man. She said, the leadership team was just speaking about a week ago, and we all felt we should start our work in Germany. So she said, and her husband had always preached, if you want to start something for God, don't look for buildings. First find the man. Because God doesn't need all the stuff. He needs the man or the woman that God will use. So then she said, why don't you go to Germany for the summer with your family, then come back, work one year, and then we can send you out. So the story goes, in 1974, my family, plus my sister, myself, my sister, and another girl, my sister's 2 years younger than myself. I was 21, they were 19, I turned 22, and they were 20. Okay, then, who else? With my parents. Okay, so we went to Germany, and we didn't know one German person. We just like jumped. We were, as I said, we were radical. They used to tell us in Bible school, live or die, sink or swim, we will serve the Lord. Just jump. So we jumped. I would never tell anyone that really. But okay, so we went. And you can see we're still living, so God is faithful. So we went to Germany. And then one by one, we started out at this American missions base. Then we met one German man, a German Christian man. And he said, oh, the three girls, that was myself and the two other girls, they can come with me. My father has a Christian old folks home. And they can work there. So anyway, that was funny. Our first place of meeting the Germans was a Christian old folks home. That was our first experience with Germans. And then from there, we met another German man who was having like a revival among young people in North Germany. And he said, the girls can come and stay with us because my parents were going to go back. There's a lot of young drug addicts getting saved, and they can come up there if they want to. Okay, so my parents went home, and myself and the other two girls stayed in Germany the first year by ourselves. And it was really quite hard. But we tried to learn the language, and we prayed. And I just wanted to, I want to make it sure as I can. I just wanted to say, whenever I would think about serving God, I'd always think, God, you know, I really want to serve you, but I don't really have any talents. And I would always say, I don't like to sing. I can't sing. I don't like to do children's work. And I don't like to stand in front of people. And I thought, I don't know what I could imagine, but whatever. So the one thing I did like, that's why I like to share this. The one, I always tell people, well, when they want to know what shall I do, I say, follow your heart, what's in your heart. The one thing that I always liked, I didn't think it was a gift, but for some reason I loved to pray. And in the Bible school, I went to every prayer meeting there was, because when I prayed, I felt totally free. I could be eloquent, I could talk to God, I kept my eyes closed, I could do everything, but when I was in front of people, I was so bound. So I thought, I love to pray. And in Bible school, I read every book on prayer, went to every prayer meeting. The second year, I started a prayer meeting for the young girls, and we prayed 1 to 2 hours a day with these 8 girls, and 2 of them were 2 that came to Germany. So we were there in Germany with these 2 girls, so we prayed, and I can only say God anointed us to pray that year.
Amen.
Well, did we pray? And of course, if you're every day with the same people praying, and then this vision for Germany, and this vision for this Bible school, just like, almost like you become pregnant with it. It's like you see it, it's alive, it grows. We were praying it, we were writing down what we were praying, we were speaking it into existence, and it was just, and everyone we met, we told them we're praying for a Bible school. They thought we were crazy. They go like this in Germany, crazy. And so anyway, it was just so real. When my parents came over 9 months later, they brought a small team. I have to bring this part in.
Right.
And
right.
Guess who was on the team?
Mike!
I had never met him. And so Mike comes on the team to start the Bible school, and Mike and I meet on the mission field, and
da-da, da-da.
Da-da, da-da, da-da. And, yeah, and the one thing, I always say Mike kind of, what do I say, trapped, no, got me, cooked me, hooked me, because he knew I wasn't that interested in whatever. And but he knew I loved to pray, and Mike and I, from the beginning, could always pray incredibly well together. So he hooked me in the prayer room.
I never prayed before.
No, but anyway, we could always pray together, so we're praying together for the Bible school, and we're in this little team starting the Bible school, and a year later we were married in 1976. Which will be 40 years in July, we'll be married. Okay, so that's how that came. And then, after this year, my parents came, Mike came, God gave us a building. It was just like burst. We didn't really know many Germans. We didn't even really, the German pastors, of course, were not that excited to see us. They also thought we're a little crazy. But we began to speak out. Revivals coming to Europe, Germany's the key. That's what God gave us. We began to just speak hope and faith to the Germans, and we started this Bible school. The first year we had 40 people by a miracle. And it began. And then we started 3 o'clock afternoon services on Sunday because we weren't a church, but all the hungry people came already. It was just like that charismatic movement was beginning, 1974. Everyone, Baptists, different people, were so hungry for God, and they started coming. And it just kept growing. Then we met, then speakers would come through, then intercessors, and it was a battle to the finish. But God just did what he said he'd do. And it was a time, though, the charismatic movement, the 70s, the 80s, it was a real, people were hungry in the denominations. And then we started conferences and praise and worship and, just began to grow. And then the students began to grow. The name of the ministry is called Glaubenszentrum, which means faith center. And We really tried to raise up the Germans into God's love, into God's forgiveness, into faith, into God's presence. And it took a lot of work. But we always had this thought with the Germans. Sometimes they would sit there, you know, I don't want to say, but in the beginning they would eat their brooch and their little breads. No, their rolls. They would eat it in the service, and Mike would be leading the worship. He led the worship 8 years with his eyes closed because he always thought God was there, but when he opened his eyes, they'd be standing there like this. And so he kept his eyes closed 8 years. We just didn't really look at the people, but we just kept trying to break through. But we had this hope. If the Germans ever get it, if faith instead of intellect, and if love, if they get God's love, we knew the Germans could take the world. They have a quality of dedication. They're sincere. They would never say yes unless they really mean it. Mm-hmm. They won't say yes to an altar call or to anything unless they really mean it. But if they mean it, they follow through. So we always had the hope. If God can get a hold of them with the good and the right, they have strength. And they are very, I have to say,
yes.
They're sincere.
Yes.
And they were really hurt by the war because they trusted this monster, gave everything to him, and were totally deceived. So they don't really trust. And that's the big miracle, when they learn to trust God. Open up to God. It took a long time for Germans to really come in to God's love, but they are there. Mm-hmm. And we do feel like, in some ways, I don't want to say mission accomplished, but when we see where Germany is today and what God's done in the nation and the churches and the new level of leaders, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, with such a level of faith, and then I shared, the other day, 2015, 70 years after the war, they've had a few really milestone conferences in Germany this year where, for Mike and I, it was like mission accomplished almost, because when we went to it was a stadium with 26,000 in Nuremberg, the exact place where the young people dedicated themselves to Hitler in those days, 70 years, thousands of troops did like really a religious service of giving their lives to this maniac. And the vision was 70 years later, the same place, and they had all the thousands of German young people giving themselves to the right king. And the one thing that Mike and I had to be there to see, it, the heavens were so open. It really is a new day. And God can not only forgive and restore individuals into their destiny and calling, God can really forgive and restore families. Mm-hmm. And God can forgive and restore even nations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they're not perfect and they have a lot to go, but they've worked through a lot of their past. And there is an alive church in Germany today that worships, that preaches, that lives, that's on fire. And so that's our story. It's really quite connected with Germany, to be really honest. We go to other nations in Europe. We come to England. We lived in England for 3 years, and that's where we got our love for England. And when we come here, every time we get totally refreshed and blessed by England. That's why we like to come. It still has, I would say, more life than Germany. Germany is still a real challenge. It's a mission field. But we always get blessed out of, totally blessed and refreshed in England. And we love the English. We actually feel more connected with England than we do America, because America is so far away and so different. And we've been so long in Europe that when we don't, in America, we're almost ourselves in shock. But when we come to England, even though you may not know, it's still quite European, but speaks that nice language. And we feel really at home, very, very at home in England. And let's see. That's basically our story. Just to close it, We stayed at the Bible school. We worked there for 27 years. My parents led it for 16 years, and we were their helpers. Then, when we turned 40, it wasn't planned, but we always go from crisis to crisis. There was a crisis. And then Mike and I became the leaders, and they helped us. And then in 2001, we had another crisis and gave the Bible school to a German team that we raised up. And then we came to England 3 years, a year in America. And then in 2005, we decided we were in England with working with at Kingdom Faith Bible College, but we couldn't get Germany out of our hearts. And we said, does God want us to stay in England or Germany? For 2 years, we went back and forth, England, Germany, England, Germany, England, Germany. We loved it in England, but because our whole heart and call was to Germany, we didn't know if we were finished with our race there or not. So 2005, we jumped back to Germany. We just turned about 50. I have to say it was a lot harder to jump when you're 50 than when you're 21. Because when you're 50, especially a woman, is looking for maybe a place to feel a little secure and settled. And we jumped back again and started a new ministry, that's Arise. And God said, take what you released in the Bible school all over Germany now and all over Europe. So now we've been traveling. And I have to say, these last 10 years have been also so different, but quite rewarding. Because we've got to meet so many churches, training schools, people, and we really don't miss the responsibility of carrying a big ministry. We always say that what we're doing now fits our age really good, because we don't have to carry a team or a building or this or that, and we just can bless others. And so I can only say God is worth it all.
Yeah.
And that He's faithful. From crisis to crisis, from faith to faith, He works it out, and He really does work everything together for good.
Amen.
If you put your life in His hands, He has an incredible plan. I also like to say, plan B can be better than plan A. And if you fall, all I can say is rise again.
Amen.
A favorite verse is, a righteous man falls 7 times and gets up again.
Yes.
So to encourage everybody, God is amazing.
Amen.
He can take any life in His hands and help all of us to run the race that He's given to each one of us, where He's put us. And I consider it an incredible privilege to be with you all and to be with God. And
Amen.
I'm just happy that there's a God who loves us.
Amen.
And He is worth everything.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
So.